hearts encouraged and stirred towards fulfilling the Great Commission. And so, Father, I pray that you would just bless the Threlfall family, Lord, as they're with us, that you would just use them in our midst, but may we be an encouragement to them as well. And, Father, I pray that this Sunday school hour would accomplish all that you've determined it to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. It's good to be with you all this morning. So we are the Threlfall family. My wife and children are not, they're over in the nursery area getting them settled. So we have Peter is 1.5, and then Sophia is 3.5. She'll be 4 in June. So exciting times in the Threlfall household. We enjoy our two children very much. My wife is expecting, we are expecting another one. So just early on in the pregnancy stage, but we'll be finding out the due date eventually here. So we're very, very thankful to the Lord for his goodness to us and growing our family. So let me just give you a little bit of my background. I grew up in a missionary family, actually. My parents were missionaries for over 40 years in South Korea, and they have recently come off the field, and they're now here in the States. Still, they haven't retired from ministry. They're still in the ministry, just not on the foreign field. My grandparents were also missionaries. My mother's parents were, first of all, missionaries in Japan, and then the Lord providentially redirected them to South Korea. Their house in Japan burned to the ground, and that was God's way of saying, you're done here, and now it's time to go to South Korea. My father's parents were also involved in ministry. He was an evangelist, so he traveled all over a lot in the Midwest, and he would do itinerant pastoring as well. So if a church was without a pastor for a while, he would step in and take on that church until they could find a pastor. So very, very thankful. They have had their testimony and their faithfulness to the Lord has had a huge impact on my life and the trajectory that the Lord has given to me. Some of you may be familiar with GFA, Gospel Fellowship Association. That's our mission board. And my grandparents were actually sort of a catalyst for GFA. They first went to the field in the 60s, late 50s, and at that they were originally with a mission board named TEAM, the Evangelical Alliance Mission, and back at that time that mission board was just really going south into theological liberalism, and my grandfather, my mother's father, just in good conscience could not remain with that mission board, and so he left that mission board. But when they left, they had a lot of their supporting churches began dropping their support as well. And so you have a family of four children, eventually six children, and they're losing their support. And so my grandfather, Gerald Johnson, approached Dr. Bob Jr. and said, you need to start a mission board that I can, in good conscience, be a part of. And so that was really what began GFA, and my grandparents were among the first missionaries with GFA. And that is the mission board that my parents have been with, and that is the mission board that we also are with. And we're very thankful for the support they give us. So on the screen, you see a map of India and the flag of India. And the Lord did have us in India for a while, but we are currently in a field transition here to the Philippines. So I first went to India in 2019. The Lord gave me a burden for a training type of ministry. There's a huge need for training nationals. These are the men who know the language, they know the culture, they already have inroads into their communities, but they need training. They need to be equipped to be able to plant churches, to be able to edify believers, and to be able to evangelize the lost. And so that's what I really trained for at Bob Jones University. I was in seminary with the goal of returning, of going to somewhere that needed assistance in training nationals, where there was an open door. And when I finished my schooling in 2019, the Lord opened the door to go to India. Sorry, it was 2016. At South India Baptist Bible College and Seminary, a really good Bible college. We had about 400 students, huge potential and huge needs. And this was before we were married. I was still a single man at that point. And so I spent three school years there at SIBBC training these men for ministry. In 2019, we were married and did 2 years of deputation, and then we were able to do several more years of both remote teaching with the college and a couple semesters there in person. But recently, the Lord has shut that door. There's a lot more restrictions from the Indian government. And there are two main issues that really made it clear that door was closing. The first one was immigration. Indian immigration began restricting the time that you can spend in India to only 6 months out of the year. 6 months in, 6 months out. And that was really, really not an ideal ministry model. You can only be in the country for 6 months out of the year. The other issue had to do with the paperwork issue. So wherever you stay in India, wherever you lodge, whether it's a hotel or private residence, your hosts are required to fill out all kinds of paperwork. And you need to understand that India is not a country that is open to the gospel. Okay? You cannot get into India on a missionary visa. You cannot openly evangelize. You can't just go out and start passing out tracts. Okay? If I did that, that would be a good way to get myself kicked out of the country. Okay? They are Hindu, and they want to remain Hindu, and they're not open to outside influences. And so the less the government knows about you and about what you're doing in India, the better. Of course, we're not doing anything illegal, but it's just that if there's any cause that the government can find to ship you out or to stop what you're doing, they'll do that. And so just the amount of, our housing was provided by the college. We were staying on campus. And so the amount of paperwork that the college had to provide was not healthy for the college. It was not healthy for us. Just too much information had to be disclosed. And so it was very clear that we could not be there long term. So we can still take short visits. And we were able to do that last summer in June, to get some of our belongings, but the Lord shut that door. But he very quickly opened up another door at another college, a very similar ministry in the Philippines, BJMBC. So many of you are familiar with that. The Minics are our co-workers right there. Very, very thankful to have such wonderful, solid co-workers like the Minics. We've got other wonderful co-workers there that we have great confidence in. And a lot of potential at the college. So we got a 12-minute video. So some of this will probably be review for you. Others will, give you a new insight into what we're doing. You'll be able to see some of our students and some of the vision that the Lord's given for them and how the Lord's been working in their lives. And then afterwards, we'll take any questions you have. And so I hope to get lots of good questions.
One billion people.
They bow before idols, who have ears but cannot hear, who have eyes but cannot see, who have mouths but cannot speak. 1 billion people.
Many claim no religion. Others worship ancestors or follow the teachings of Buddha. 1 billion people.
They bow to Allah and follow the teachings of Muhammad. Almost 5 billion people live in Asia.
They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near.
For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?
In one Asian country, truth is faithfully proclaimed in a context of religious freedom, an unusual privilege in this part of the world. These Filipino brothers and sisters are flexible, easily adapting to challenging living conditions. They are natural language learners. Many of them are already bilingual. They are hospitable and friendly. The Philippines has incredible potential to be a sending and training location for church planters, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries. What kind of training do these brothers and sisters need? What will equip them for gospel work?
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In one busy street in Quezon City, Manila, servants of Jesus are fervently studying the inspired Word of God. Since its beginning in 1985, Bob Jones Memorial Bible College has been supporting local churches by training church planters, pastors, lay leaders, evangelists, and missionaries. The Lord has provided a wonderful facility. The Lord is sending students to the school. The Lord is directing teachers, both Americans and Filipinos, to train this next generation. Over the last 5 years, several gifted teachers at BJMBC have been directed to other places of ministry. There is a need for teachers and administrators. We believe that the Lord is calling the Threlfall family to serve at BJMBC in the Philippines.
Hello from the Philippines!
We are the Threlfall family. My name is Andrew.
I'm Charlene.
My name is Sophia. And this is Peter.
I was saved at the age of 5 years old. One night after our family devotions, my parents clearly explained to me God's plan of salvation. That evening, I trusted in Christ as my Savior and Lord.
I was privileged as a young child to hear the gospel clearly taught. When I was 9 years old, I was confronted with my need to accept Christ's work personally. After talking to my mom, I asked the Lord to save me. Through the faithful preaching of my pastor, the Lord impressed the words of Matthew 28 on my heart. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. As a college student, I committed myself to pursue foreign mission work.
As a missionary kid in South Korea, the Lord gave me a burden for full-time Christian service. With that in view, I pursued a degree in seminary after finishing college. While in seminary, the Lord impressed upon me the great need for providing theological training to national church planters and pastors. We want to invest in national believers in accordance with Paul's instructions to Timothy. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. In 2016, the Lord led me to serve at a Bible college in a restricted access country. I was able to teach for 3 years. After the Lord led Charlene and I together, we traveled on deputation to raise full-time monthly support.
Our family was able to serve there online and in person for parts of 4 school years. The Lord gave us many opportunities to strengthen believers and evangelize students who needed to hear the gospel clearly.
Because of increasing pressure from the government, we had to leave the country. In 2025, the Lord gave us the opportunity to take a 5-month survey trip to the Philippines. We enjoyed learning about the Philippines, the people, the culture, the language, and the food.
We love chicken adobo!
It was a joy to visit and minister to many wonderful churches in the Manila area. Our Filipino brothers and sisters evangelize, disciple, worship, and serve so faithfully. We have also been studying Tagalog.
Our co-workers are mature, like-minded brothers and sisters. We anticipate wonderful fellowship and ministry with them. The Lord gave us many opportunities to serve. Andrew taught 3 classes at the school and preached in chapel and in local churches. I was able to minister through music. We have both had opportunities to meet with and mentor students.
We began the school year with about 175 students enrolled. Though most students are from the Philippines, we also serve several online students from other areas in Asia. Places like Myanmar, China, Vietnam, Nepal, Singapore, the UAE, and Thailand.
My name is Gloria, and I'm from Myanmar.
My name is Giancarlo Canton. I'm from Mindanao, southern part of the Philippines.
My name is Thang Lam Sian. I'm from Myanmar.
The most important impact it has in my life is that it strengthened my relationship with the Lord.
How are you make a decision from the scripture?
A godly way is not just one day, it should be consistent. That's one of the things that I learned here. And many more, but it will like take lots of time for it.
It challenged me. It's hard, but the Lord continued to encourage me to keep going.
And I get to use the skills that I've learned here, even at church. I participate in choir ministries, special numbers, orchestra, and helping out in junior church, assisting Sunday schools, and taking turns teaching as well, and also mainly through Bible club ministries.
My point of view for your ministry is really changed because of the things that I see here and the things that I hear. I feel what I learn here and what I see here are more effective, and I think that will please the Lord more if I could do that in Myanmar.
BJMBC's sound theological teaching is meeting a tremendous need in training men and women for gospel ministry.
So the knowledge that the education that I have here will be beneficial there.
I'm very grateful for this school, for this kind of training ground, especially for us international students. It means a lot because once we go back home, we're the ones who's going to serve.
We believe that the Lord is using BJMBC to fulfill the Great Commission in Asia and beyond.
What is in my heart is to go back to our place in Mindanao and teach them. And if the Lord will, I'm like pastor the church there. So also they really need the Abisaya speaker because our pastor is again is English speaking. So I think the Lord is calling me to back.
I would love to serve in my home church.
If God's willing, I'll get back to him. We into the Adriatic, they don't have Bible in their own language yet, so I'll be like local missionary there first, and then to the Bible translation.
Would you partner with us in helping these servants of the Lord? Would you pray for us and for them? I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles.
To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house.
I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images.
Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth.
Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof.
Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains.
Let them give glory unto the Lord, and declare his praise in the islands.
All right, I hope that's helpful for you to get a good idea of the work that the Lord is doing there in the Philippines. Very, very exciting. So with the field transition that we have from India to the Philippines, it's changed our support level a little bit. So our 100% support in India became 65% support for the Philippines. So there's a higher cost of living in the Philippines, and then there's also the addition of rent we need to pay. So in India, our housing was provided for by the college, but in the Philippines, we're going to have to pay for rent our own accommodations, and it's in Manila, the big city, so things are a little bit more expensive there. So the Lord has been good to us, so we've been in churches since the end of January, and the Lord gradually bringing in our support, so we're at 75% right now. And actually, we have just last week we found out that we have an anonymous donor, sort of a unique situation. So we would like to be back in the Philippines in June, and so we're on deputation now to try to raise our support. But it's really an awkward time of year to be raising support right at the beginning of the year, where churches have already set their budgets, and who knows when they'll be able to, you know, take you on if they're able to. And so an anonymous donor has decided that they're going to provide full support for us for whatever we need in June, so that we can, you know, definitely be there. And they will provide that support for a year to give churches a time to eventually vote on us and take us on. And so we're very thankful to the Lord for that provision. Temporary provision, but it'll for sure get us to the Philippines in June, and we'll be able to start ministering there. So very, very thankful for that. I receive regular updates about our ministry. We have a sign-up sheet and our table there in the lobby, and you can just write your name and email, and we'll get you on our update list for that. My wife and daughter have come in, so there's Charlene and Sophia. So Peter's in the nursery. So hopefully you'll be able to meet him at some point. All right, what kind of questions do you all have? Always enjoy taking good questions. About us, or about the ministry, or even about India. Yes, right here. Yes, Tagalog, yeah. Yeah, so we started taking Tagalog classes back in July when we were in the Philippines for our five-month survey trip there. And you know, with our the teaching load that I had, we were only able to take one class a week. But we are still taking our classes every week. And still, you know, with the busyness of deputation, family, No, we're still only taking one class a week, but we are we are making steady progress. So very encouraging. We a couple weeks ago we got into the verb systems. We're learning the verb system, so it's getting a lot more able to do a lot more, say a lot more things, and understand a lot more things in Tagalog. My Tagalog night is Tuesday night, and Charlene's is on Thursday night, and they're 2-hour classes. And it's we do it over Zoom, and so it's live with somebody there in the Philippines working one-on-one with us. And so it is a little bit late for us, so before the time change, it was 7 to 9, but now the time change, it's 8 to 10. A little late for us and for the kids, but we do what we can, so they're just on a little bit later schedule. But you could pray with us that the Lord would really help us with the language acquisition and to be able to really communicate well in Tagalog. So appreciate that. Yes, right here. Yes, so English is one of the national languages there in the Philippines, and so a lot of people know English very well. In fact, our experience in the Philippines is that their English is a lot more understandable than Indian English, and a lot of them seem a lot more proficient in English. And so that especially helps out in the classroom setting. And so, you know, a lot of schools, you know, are English-speaking schools. But they're really most comfortable in Tagalog, and that's really their heart language. And so when you're out in local churches, that's what they're going to be speaking. They're going to be speaking in Tagalog. Their preaching is going to be in Tagalog. All their fellowshipping is going to be in Tagalog. And so to have a ministry in the local church, we really need to know. We need to know Tagalog. And so that's going to be a high priority for us when we return. And it's also helpful, you know, when you're working with the students to be able to, you know, do a little bit back and forth in Tagalog and in the classroom setting as well. Throw in some Tagalog there is very, very helpful for the students. And that's really what they prefer to speak. So when we return in June, that's going to be what we're going to try to focus on. I'm just going to be teaching one class, and then we're going to try to take more classes of Tagalog to try to speed up that. Great question. Thank you. Yes, question right here. Yeah, so June is when they start the semester. Okay, so the new school year. And two semesters. So got June to November, and then they start up in December again. Second semester. Yeah. So May to June, or actually, you know, between March and June, that's really the hottest time of the year in the Philippines. So it's a good time not to be in school and not to have to try to do that. So, great question. Thank you. What other questions do we have? Yes. Yes, so just a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Kami Bayashiyama there, he's the president of the college, he asked me if I would be willing to teach first semester Hebrew. So yes, I'm willing to teach first semester Hebrew. So I've taught Hebrew before, so I'm looking forward to that. I've actually never taught first semester. For some reason, I've only taught second semester, so I need to make sure that, you know, I can properly explain the basics of Hebrew. So, looking forward to that. So, great. What other questions? Yes, right here. Yeah, that's a great question. So, technically, in India's constitution, there is freedom of religion. Okay? So, they have the freedom to have a Bible college. You can't legally just shut it down. because there are it is freedom of religion, but practically speaking, they do as much. We try to restrict you as much as possible. So they have things like anti-conversion laws in a lot of states in India. It's illegal to change your religion. And that's really primarily targeted. It's okay if you're converting from Christian to Hindu. That's okay. It's just a problem when you're converting from Hindu to Christianity. Okay, that's when they enforce that particular conversion law. But there is still a lot of persecution. If things happen, violence happens against Christians, you know, all the law enforcement is Hindu. All the government is Hindu. And so they'll just turn a blind eye. They'll let persecution happen and things like that. With foreigners, they can put a lot more restrictions on you. They can tell you, you know, you can't preach, you can't do any proselytizing. And so they can tell foreigners that, but they can't just tell Indians that. They may try to persecute you in whatever ways they can, but legally they just can't shut you down. So that's a little bit of the dynamic that's at work in India. Any kids have questions too? Right here. Yeah. Yeah, so we do have, so you're asking if we have some Indian students in the Philippines? Yeah, we have had some Indian students. Actually, there was one fella who I taught in the Philippines, in India, and he eventually came for further training there to the Philippines. So we do have some Indian students that come to the Philippines, and then others, we do have quite a bit of Zoom students that tune in through Zoom, so we don't have some students in India that way. So it's a great, it's, you know, really the Philippines is a very, you know, strategic central hub there for that part of Asia, that people can come and then return to their places for the ministry. Yes, right here. We are still learning, and we were just looking this up. What are the degrees? I can't remember. Okay. So, yeah, it's of course not liberal arts, but Bachelor of Ministry degree, and you have different focuses. So you have music, pastoral ministry, youth ministry, that kind of thing. And there's a master's program as well. And yeah, question right here. Yes, there is bad weather. Now, when I talk about bad weather, we're not talking about kind of snowstorms. We're just talking about wind and rainstorms. So you have your rainy season in the Philippines, and so pretty much the whole time that we were there, from June to November, was their rainy season. So we got lots and lots of rain. And these are actually typhoons, they call them. It's kind of like a hurricane. It's just not as, it's the same kind of weather pattern, but it's just smaller than a hurricane. So you get a lot of wind, a lot of rain. And sometimes they actually cancel classes because there's too much rain, too much wind, and flooding in areas, and so they can't get to the college. And we actually, now Sophia didn't enjoy this, but you know, there's also a lot of thunder, a lot of thunder with those rainstorms too, and so we always get to a little bit of thunder here and there. Do you like thunder? No, you don't like thunder? Maybe when you get older you like thunder. So yeah, lots of rain in the rainy season. But we don't get any cold weather. Coldest it gets maybe low 70s. And when it's low 70s, you know, you start pulling on your heavy parka, get your cap and gloves out. You better dress warmly, or else you'll catch your death of cold. That's the idea. Yes, right here. So we don't have a lot of You're talking about Buddhists as opposed to Hindus? Yeah, we don't have a lot of contact with Buddhists. Of course, in India, you know, 80% of the population is Hindu. You have 18% would be Muslim. Not a whole lot of Buddhists in India, and not a whole lot of Buddhists in the Philippines. 80% in the Philippines would be Roman Catholic. But both Buddhism and Hinduism come from a vastly different, complete worldview. They're not coming from a Judeo-Christian standpoint at all. And so really, you've got to start with the basics. In Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Very basic. This is what they need to start at, because that's not even their starting point. They're coming from a completely different idea. With Hinduism, you know, incredibly polytheistic, and with Buddhism, it's a little bit different, but still we need to establish that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the message is the same. But there's a lot more foundational truth that you need to give when you're working with both Hindus and Muslims. With the Roman Catholics that we're working with, there's going to be, you know, that Judeo-Christian foundation is there, but there is a lot of false doctrine that's been thrown into the mix. And so you need to focus on, you know, how do we receive Christ's salvation? It's by faith alone, through grace alone, through Christ alone. So a little bit different emphasis. Yeah, great question. Thank you. What else? Yes, right here. Was actually a Spanish colony for hundreds of years, actually. And so, you know, we had the Spanish were very intent on converting forcibly, their subjects. And so that's really where the Roman Catholic influence comes in. Those hundreds of years of domination by the Spanish, and that influence has also shown itself in the language as well, which we are thankful for, because you got a lot of Spanish words and Spanish phrases, and a lot of vocabulary comes from Spanish. And so if you're familiar with Spanish, you know, you can recognize a lot of these words, and that makes it easier to learn. But again, the whole grammar is all its own language. Yeah, I saw a question over here. Dangerous plants. Like what? Yeah, I'm not sure. We live in Manila. It's the big city, and to be honest with you, there aren't a whole lot of plants or trees. It's a lot of buildings and concrete and asphalt. But I'll have to do more looking into that. The main poisonous plant I have a problem with is poison ivy, and I've never gotten that anywhere else but here in the United States of America. I get it really bad. But I'm not sure about India. It'd be a good thing to look into. I'm not sure about the Philippines. I'm sorry. If I say India when I say India a lot when I'm in the Philippines, and I say the Philippines when I'm in India. So, you know, just try to look at the context and determine which one fits the best. So I apologize. In the Philippines, you know, we don't have a whole lot of animals in Manila either. I'm trying to think. You know, when we're talking about India, immediately I think of the peacock, you know. Peacocks all over the place. You got monkeys, you know, we saw a lot of monkeys, and you got the elephants. And, you know, you'll have some of that in the Philippines too, but you got to get further out from the city. And so we haven't been able to get out really much from the brief time that we had there. Yes, right here. You know, we feel very welcome in the Philippines. It's actually a huge contrast from India. In India, you know, go through immigration, just frowning at you, grunting, speaking in monosyllables, and you know, you even go out and you're just not. They just don't like foreigners, and they don't really want you to be in their country. But in the Philippines, it's the complete opposite. You know, they're smiling, very welcoming. And so they really respect Americans, and they're very thankful for the role we played in World War II, really liberating them from the Japanese who came in and really abused them. And so they all know Douglas MacArthur and his role there in the Philippines. I will return, a very well-known phrase there in the Philippines, and they have a... some roads are named MacArthur after him, and so they are very positive toward Americans and very welcoming. I think I saw another hand somewhere over. Yes. Oh, you know, that's something else I need to know. Do you know what the population is? You know, it's one of those, you know, in the top most populous cities in the world. So I couldn't do it right now. Are you looking it up, brother? what do you have? It's coming up. Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. See Pastor Ben afterwards if you want to know the population of Manila. Great. Any other questions? Yeah, right here. Yes, we do. We do have a pretty robust music program there. For many years, we had the Bacharachs were there. They have since had to leave the Philippines, and they are teaching at Maranatha now. But the program that they've started is still in place, and we have really qualified music faculty that are teaching there. So, yeah, really, really great music emphasis program. And we really see the influence of that program in many of the churches there in Manila. So when we were in the Philippines, we were trying to get a feel for the different churches that are available for us to minister in. And there are quite a number of churches in the Manila area. We visited 10 different churches, but in every church we visited, almost every single one of them had their mini orchestra, you know, he had maybe a violin or two or some other instrument. Many of them had a choir that would sing. They had special music, and that is much more that we've seen in the many, many churches that we visited here in the States. Just been a huge influence with their music, and really encouraging to see. Great. Any more questions, and then we'll call it quits. Yes, right here. How many people are saved? Well, it's hard to know exactly. We've been working mostly with the college ministry, and so most of those students are already saved, and so we're training them to be able to evangelize those that need to be saved. And so we didn't do a whole lot of working directly with unsaved people, but mainly equipping others to be able to do that. Great question. Thank you. You know, I'm not sure about Muslims in Manila. I don't remember seeing any mosques, but they do have, you know, your local LDS, well, your Mormons are there. So there's one of the churches that we went to, we'd pass right by one of those Mormon temples. So there is a significant, unfortunate Mormon influence, but not as much Muslims. The Muslims would be further south in the islands, in the south, where there's a lot more violence down there. But in Manila, not so much. Great. All right. This one and then this one. Okay. These last two questions. Right here. I'm not sure. Since the Philippines is good friends with the United States, that would probably be a good reason that the Philippines would not get along well with China. But I'm not exactly sure the relationships between China and the Philippines. Be a good thing to look at. Yes, last question. All right, the population of Manila, 24 million. So it's a big city. All right, well, thank you so much. If you have any other questions, we'll be willing to talk afterwards. But it's been always wonderful to be able to share what the Lord's doing and the burdens He's given us.
It's so encouraging to me to see him in the Lord's work, and he was very studious in school, and just someone that had a lot of people had kind of like a tunnel vision. They're about their own thing, but he was very much a friendly, outgoing person. I don't know if you take out maybe outgoing, you feel that same way about yourself, but just a person that I got. I guess I knew several of your brothers in school when he came along, and just from a good family. And just praise the Lord that he's been faithful to the Lord and serving, and spent a good amount of time preparing himself for this type of ministry, and very able and equipped to help others. And so it's neat to see the Lord bringing a field along. You know, you have certain stages of a mission field. Some of them you go to a place and they've never heard the gospel, and you've got to start with the very basics and aspects, like he was talking about in India and the places. And then you have other places where there has been many who have been saved, and now they're ready to multiply. And so it's neat to be able to take some of the education and the benefits that we have here in America to take that to them. And they just have a real servant's heart mindset there in the Philippines. And so it's neat to see what God's doing there, and how Thorough Falls can further that work that the Lord is doing all throughout Southeast Asia. So. All right, well, we'll go ahead and have a word of prayer and be dismissed and have some fellowship before our morning worship time. Dear Father, we are so thankful that you're a saving God.